Hello, and welcome to the Fire Up Podcast. I'm your host, Deborah Trapin. As an empowerment consultant, author, and international speaker, it is my heart's desire to help you define and refine your best self. Ditch the senseless hustle you deal with, find your focus, and ultimately build a life you are fired up to live out loud, on purpose, and on your own terms. Lioness, put your seatbelt on if you dare. Get ready to fill your soul tank with weekly affirmations, take your life to 11 with each thought-provoking moment, and spark that beautiful flame of inspiration by listening to the Moxie Chats with magnificent women sharing their signature sass, moxie, and fire. Are you ready to open, ignite, and nurture your mind, heart, and soul? Grab your favorite beverage and let's do this.
Happy Fierce Female Friday, friends. Oh my goodness, that's a lot of F's. That's a lot of F's. It's a lot of F's and a lot of 11s today. And we got a lot of F's to give. We do.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Oh my goodness. I am so, so thankful to introduce you to two of my favorite humans on this planet. The Fire community, of course, has heard the names Rebecca Radice and Mia Voss many times in many ways over the years. However, this is the first time here on the Moxie Chat that the three of us have been together. We've done other things. I think we did like a International Women's Day chit chat where I think Mia was caught putting on her lip gloss.
That was a good
There's all black glasses going on, so I had to change mine out.
And I love, like me, you've got 15 pair of glasses right next to you, just to be like, I'm in the mood.
That is correct.
Totally accurate. I love it. I love it. I love it. Well, let me just give the Instagram overview. So how you describe yourselves on Instagram, we'll start with Mia. Opinionated lifestyle blogger, mouthy activist, podcaster of the Shit We Don't Talk About podcast. Yes, I did say a swear word. Yes. Mama to a Frenchie named Gidget, a cat named Bonquiqui, and many, many other creatures, like too many to name, and a badass building inspector. She wears hard hats and wears them well. And then, of course, Ms. Rebecca here in the middle. Her Instagram overview says, brand and biz builder, speaker, writer, entrepreneur, and Cheapup mama to Rolo and Brinkley. And for those of you who don't know what Cheapup mama means she's got two of the most adorable chihuahuas on the planet.
Little chihuahuas. Yeah.
Chihuahuas. Welcome, ladies, lionesses.
Hi, darling.
Hello. This feels like old home week a little bit. It's been so long since we've done this.
Yeah. Because we usually do a little private one on our Wine Wednesdays. That got me through the pandemic, a little FYI.
Oh, seriously. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think that there were pods like that, right? Mm-hmm. I think that we all kind of found our witch circles, our lioness prides, our wine women, whatever it is. And some people had coffee chats, lunch chats, wine chats, midnight chats. And we found out where we could fit it in. And
safe spaces.
And just to stay sane. So I love starting out with one big question. And so we're gonna start there. just to dig in. And that really is, what is on your heart right now? Like, let's dig into, what is that thing? What is that topic? What, maybe it's in the news, maybe it's in your home, maybe it's on your patio. What is the topic that is stirring inside you? Mia, let's go with you first.
Ooh, you know, I always have things to say.
You? No. You mouthy, opinionated girl.
I am, but I've been keeping it really simplistic because there's so much out there. There's such a cacophony. There's a cacophony of dogs fighting, having an argument over here right now. Whenever Bonquiqui goes out, there's this gaggle of black crows that harass the you-know-what out of him. So it feels so loud out there just in the news. So I would say it's such a time of transition. If you're any type of feeler energy person, you are feeling it so hardcore. So for me, it's a time also of turning inward, because nothing's going to make sense to me unless I'm super, super grounded. So that's kind of what's been on my heart. This week we had this crazy lunar eclipse. We've got Mercury in retrograde. You know how trifling he is. Trying to make buddies with him, but we're still, it's complicated. That's my relationship with Mercury. It's complicated. So yeah, that's what's going on over here.
Down the tech hatches.
Oh my word. My keyboard was not doing the letter U. Not that I use it that often, but anyway, that's what's happening here.
Well, you know, I think what I'm hearing in there is the word energy a lot, right?
So much.
Here we are, we're talking smack about Mercury, talking about battening down our tech hatches, and we get kicked off the internet. Mm-hmm. If that is not definition of irony, I don't know what is.
Oh, yeah. It's because I said that my relationship is complicated with him, and he didn't care for that.
No, he's like, mm-mm, I'm going to give you a little spank for that.
Okay.
We got a little star spank. But we're here. We're not going to let that get in our way. I'm going to just do a quick look-see here and make sure that we're actually on the interwebs, because, you know, I tell you, I don't see us. Oh, there I do. I do see us. I see us now. Yay. Yes, I see us now. Oh my goodness. All right. So for those of you who missed the introduction, you can catch that on the other live feed. We are talking about what is on our hearts. And as Mia was sharing that Mercury is in retrograde and they have a difficult relationship, well, he just showed her. So, however, we showed Mercury, because we are three women who will not be denied this conversation today.
Nope.
So how about you, Rebecca? What's on your heart this week?
I think I would have to echo a lot of what Mia just said, which is a lot of what the three of us have talked about for the last 15 months. You know, it's been a time of introspection, a time of reflection, a time to really look at what matters most. I think that has been showing up for me a lot these last several months of, you know, taking us back to a place of just being able to unload some of the stuff in our lives and feel lighter, I think, than we have in the past 15 months, and be very okay with that, that what brought us into 2020 didn't need to follow us into 2021.
No doubt.
That's good.
Yeah, and
that's a tweetable right there.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. Yeah,
I think it's a very freeing time too for those that did take the time to really reflect on where we were, and especially at the end of the year and coming into 2021, I think everybody thought, oh, miraculously, we're going to snap our fingers so the year is going to be so different, which of course it doesn't. But it is exciting to see that there was a lot of transformation. That was a word that really showed up for me in 2020, and it's continued in 2021 as we talk so much about not getting back to normal, but what is our next normal at this point? We had our new normal in 2021, and now we've got that next. And that to me is just a world of opportunity as well. So I think there's a lot of hopeful in me too, as I look ahead and just see really the sky is the limit for all of us to do, to be, to create, you know, all of those things that maybe we had to put on the back burner last year and now have the freedom or the space to do that, because we have lightened our load. We've allowed ourselves to kind of let go of some of those things that just no longer served us, which is a great place to be too.
Well, I'd love to dig into that list, because, you know, I'm seeing a lot of people talking about like what they're leaving behind, or that they're leaving a bunch of things behind, and or they're taking things with them. So I'd love to hear what you're ditching.
Like, ooh,
what are you ditching, Mia?
Shoulds.
Shoulds.
It is. And I think the thing is too, even think about our conversations over the last year. And what I've had to come to the realization and be okay with is that it's layered. So with some of the work that I've been doing with Heather McCormick Ramey, that's kind of my spiritual healer gal, is I was like, I can't believe I'm going back through this. I should have already gotten rid of that. And so then I have to realize, especially like even with EQ, with emotional intelligence, the more you're learning about that, you start uncovering these layers. And I really thought it was a one and done on a lot of this stuff. And then the more I get into that. So I would say that I should have been through this, or I should have learned this quicker. Mm-hmm. Or I should have gotten over this faster. And I think that, you know, should also has the same SH as shame. Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, I'm ready to kick that other SH word to the curb.
Kick the shitting. Well, shitting all over ourselves is something that we've all grown up doing, right? Mm. Because we've, in particular for Gen X, there was this, we did a lot of on our own. We were we were the first super independent generation. Like, we really raised ourselves in a lot of ways. And so there was always something more we could do.
Mm-hmm.
There was always something to be done. Yeah. And I think being raised by moms who were kind of balancing this being traditional, but, you know, putting on Reeboks with their suits and doing the working girl lifestyle, that we learned that there were so many things we could do that we should want to do them all.
Right. Mm.
Yes. And I think that's one of the things that I've loved about the shaming, the shame off the shooting. we're finally recognizing that in this season that we don't have to, why would we want to it all?
Sure. Tiring. I'm tired Absolutely. Thinking about that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And I think that is another big thing when you say, what are you letting go of? It's saying yes to so many things that, to your point, we thought we needed to say yes to. We thought we needed to run and rush and get everything done and juggle all those balls, and not just juggle them, but keep them all up in the air. And for me, 2020 was a year of just letting those balls slam to the ground and saying, you know, F it, I don't care. Mm-hmm,
right.
For the first time in my life, just really giving myself the freedom and the grace as well, to let go of those things that I felt like I needed to chase, like I needed to accomplish or get done. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy when you think about it too, the things that not only did we grow up feeling as if, well, I need to try this and then I need to try that and then maybe this. It's not just our professional lives. I found that I was even doing it with my hobbies, you know, where I was like, oh, I should take up piano again. Oh, I should learn the guitar. Oh, I should do this. Oh, I should do that. And it was like, good night. When am I actually going to sit down and relax?
Right. Are you actually going to sit down and relax? Yeah. This is such an important conversation, ladies, that, you know, one of the things that I have loved in this season, and some of the things that I adopted in 2020, simply to create a space for my mental health, were working from water days. I've shared this with you. We haven't talked about that yet here, but you know, I choose a day a week. Mine was yesterday, because of course it was new moon day. Mm-hmm. And so I do try to find days where it, like, the numbers match up, because, you know, I'm a numbers girl. Mm-hmm. I like that. Mm-hmm. And not like spreadsheet numbers, people. Like numerology numbers. Okay. Let me just be very clear there. But that taking a day and getting up in the morning and running the tub and putting in the salts and the bubbles and starting the day in there, and then revisiting it throughout the day. Not only does it help mellow out the vibration and really, you know, when you sit in water, there is something very magical about it.
Oh, absolutely.
And the salt and the detoxing that the salt does, not only for our skin, but for our soul. It's like, that is something I will take with me, and I won't let that go. And who knows, maybe eventually I'll have 2 days a week where I'm working from the water, and then it'll be 3 days. And then all of a sudden I'm going to have like a pool, a saltwater pool, floaty, a desk, like you, no bar at the pool, but like a
this big floaty with like all these little like floating tables.
Yes, oh yes, my, like a unicorn table, and like. But this
I love that you're starting the day with it. So talk about flipping what the traditional is, because you know it's usually like end, you know, the hot bath. You're like, nah, I'm gonna start the day with it. I love how Louisa's like, yes, and Louisa and Andy are here. Hi, yes to a cozy hot bath.
You know, and I think that if we can all start sharing the things that we uncovered, right? Mm-hmm. And inspire each other, because I think that there are some people who are like, I don't know what changed in my life. Like, I just kind of just kept going. And, you know, the three of us do not have little children that we were trying to homeschool.
Right.
We all have very functioning households, well, for the most part, maybe dysfunctionally functional, but where
we put the fun in dysfunction.
Then. Yes. That, but where we weren't really getting, we weren't having to juggle so many things. We were basically gifted with a season where we're like, mm-hmm, yes, no, yes, yes, no, yes, no.
Very true.
And so I think that part of the responsibility behind that for us is to actually say, to name it, right? Name the things that we stepped into. And Mia, one of the things that I saw with you, and it wasn't really only the pandemic. Mm-hmm. However, George Floyd kicked you into high gear, is certainly your activism, but your actionism. Let's talk about what that journey for you. So you've always been an ambassador, a voice, right? Where you find something that you are passionate about, whether it's a product, a car, a lipstick,
that BMW.
We love you, Heather. Oh my God. I can't wait to read about that. But just like you let us into your world and share with us what you love and what you would pass on. But you really stepped into this being this really passionate voice in the activism space. So tell us about that.
Big time. And what it became was the wording and how I said it, because I was sort of sitting in two worlds of good girl versus the girl that has a podcast with a swear word in it. And it was a struggle to even, and I don't mean, not a bad struggle, but enough that I was like, ooh, I'm struggling with how's this going to look for all these brands. And so what I was really able to do kicked off, and thank you for bringing that up, kicked off by the activism piece, was like, okay, then what this is going to do is push out, and not push out, but I'm going to attract the right people that are okay with being mouthy, with being opinionated. And I literally changed all my descriptions to say opinionated, opinion, mouthy, actionist, and activist to make that very, very clear. I've attracted some kind of fun people on Clubhouse because I have on my Clubhouse description, don't bring me on stage if you don't want to hear swearing.
So that
attracted some people. I have had one person that saw my podcast, responded. I talked to them, and then in the middle of it, they're like, "I don't think I can be on your podcast." I'm like, "That I don't think you can either," because I don't want somebody who's going to be uncomfortable with that moniker or those words.
Right.
But it also left me empowered to not be like, but just more like, let's bring in the right people that are going to get the work done. So that's been really fun, I will say, in the last year, and super freeing. I think freedom is a huge piece for all of us. Always will be.
Yeah.
Ooh. And, you know, I think we all love a good potty mouth session. You know,
it's part of my podcast is what's your favorite swear word at the end of it.
And yeah, I do love that you ask people that.
And I love it when I get the people who don't usually swear and they kind of tee-hee, you know, and it's super sweet. And I think it's freeing for them too. So,
yeah. Well, I think that every century, every generation has their swear words, right? Like I remember I went to parochial school now, right? So I went to Lutheran school where girls weren't allowed to wear tank tops or shorts. So gosh was actually a swear word. That's right.
Yeah. Like you couldn't, because it was basically like
that's controlling,
taking the Lord's name in vain, right?
Yeah, and it's so a watered like down version.
Gosh, was this huge? I mean, I find, to your point about the good girl, bad girl, naughty, nice, that even sometimes when I say gosh, I'm like, whoop, stop. But it still sits in there. That voice still sits in there and says, you're doing it. You're doing it. And then I just say, fork it all. Right.
Yeah.
Like,
Like, and what's that show where she can't swear?
The good place. Good place. I love that. I love saying fork. It cracks me up. And there's actually a really funny Bitmoji that has where it's like a shovel, but it's a fork, a huge, ginormous fork. And so every time I use that, that's like, you know, that's the moniker for.
I need to see that.
It's so fun. Well, and so you've got this piece where you've brought us all along. And what I've loved seeing in that, in particular for Rebecca and I, is that we've learned how to step into that in our own spaces, right? Mm-hmm. Like Rebecca, you actually made a shift in what you do, right? Now you're super passionate about the organization that you support right now. And you've invited us along there, where I don't think in the decade before that, I ever really got the note from you, hey, you know, we're going live, join us, or hey, can you help me share this? Like, you've not had that relationship with the organization you were partnering with. And now you do. Now it's showing up. Now you're tagging us. And I think that there's a story in there. So I'd love, if you want to talk about the name of the organization, that's yours to share. But tell us like what that felt like to be working for an organization that you were like, this is a story I want to share. This is an organization I want to raise money for during that time.
Yeah. I love that observation of yours too. That's really interesting to me that it's even noticeable, you know, that shift within there. But, you know, for me about, I guess, a year and a half, 2 years ago, I was feeling a big tug within my own life. And with my two business partners, we made a conscious decision to move into cause-based marketing, basically. So supporting, nonprofits. And it just, everything about it felt right to me at the time, and it has been just 100% the right decision, especially having walked in just prior to everything that transpired in 2020 and being able to be there to support an organization in the midst of that. So I work with, it's actually three different nonprofits out of the Boston area. The main one is Inversant is the name. And basically, they're democratizing higher education. So we work with, we work for, in support of low to moderate income families that can't afford to go to college. And so they are a big, big player in the children's savings account movement. And so we are helping every single day those families that probably have never saved a penny in their life, learn those habits, learn how to save, learn what financial aid is, learn what scholarships are, what, you know, just all of those things that are so elusive. And I had no idea, of course, I've taken two of my own boys, you know, through that process, and I had no idea what a huge heart I had for that, and just how much I was going to truly enjoy it. And then, like I said, coming in just, you know, prior to everything that happened in 2020, that I got to be a part of, where, you know, to the point where I felt as if I was walking alongside not just the American people with everything that was going on, but the world, where we were of face-to-face, of relationship building and community building and interaction. And we had to transition their entire business model to the online world. And it gave me such a unique perspective as I watched these families that were all of a sudden having to homeschool, all of a sudden having to figure out how five people are on one internet connection and maybe sharing one device.
Well, I think what you're saying is so in line with what we're all talking about here. It's we are aligning our lives to our values like we've never done before.
Yes. Man.
And yeah, that timing for Rebecca too, for it to be like, that is so divine of making that choice. And that all came through. And what was cool for both of us, what a great observation, Deborah, was we got to go along. And then I remember that moment we got on your live stream with Inversant, and I was like, look at these people. Like, this is amazing. You know, so yes, we always support our friends of like, hey, could you share this or will you pop in? But I remember that moment of coming in on that particular one and being like, getting things done. That was cool.
Yeah. Well, and I think that was what was so incredible to me as well, is that we were able to, of course, touch the lives of the families that the organization had been working with, but expand that beyond. So we really stepped out during Black Lives Matter. You mentioned George Floyd. And so the organization as a whole is huge activists. And that was so incredible to me to get to be a part of that through that time. So I completely agree with you. What a divine moment in how that opportunity came along, how we made that decision, where we were at that stage of just being able to say, you know, as the three of us, myself and my two business partners, to say, we're 100% all in on helping this organization, you know, do exactly what they need to do during this time of crisis. And what I started to say that you might not have heard is that what it gave me was more that boots on the ground, actual real perspective of what people were struggling with. You know, we're making phone calls to families to find out, what are you struggling with? What's going on right now? What's happening within your family? And so the reality of mom and dad losing their job and kid coming home from college, and now they've lost their job and now they're trying to figure out how to actually access their, you know, their classes online. It's mind boggling how people actually survived and came through. And for so many came through as, you know, a stronger family, as a stronger unit, which is really, really encouraging as well. So I think that's probably why hope is a big word for me, because there was so much hope in last year in just how we were all bonding and banding together to get through it.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. It is a great example. And I think that when we go back and we actually start to, you know, I think we've all now done some amount of adventuring outside of our homes, and we've been with other people and in a space where there are other people that don't have masks on now. Right. And like we're starting to experience this again. We're starting to walk back out in the world, and there is anxiety, and whether we feel it in that moment, like it's around us, whether it's us experiencing it or other people around us. And so I'd love to talk about the other side of that, which is, how are you keeping your soul tank full so that when you head out and you start to feel those feelings, that keeps you centered? So what are some of the fun things that you've maybe started doing during the pandemic, or that you were doing before, and now that you're back outside, you can? Mia, how about you?
Yeah. Well, you know, I had my pandemic patio last year.
Yes.
And I would love that, you know, some people that weren't hesitant about the pandemic are like, can we come over? No, you cannot come over and hang out on the pandemic patio. Everybody stay in their lane. So because we are getting out now, and I don't know about y'all. Actually, I do. I think we're all just super sensitive and a little raw, especially again as feelers and empaths and light workers. So for me, I've definitely had to up my game of the grounding. And then it's been interesting, as you know, I'm on this journey of not drinking right now. So I think today is like day 75, which if y'all know me, you do. that's miraculous to get this far. So that's made things a little more sensitive, quite frankly, because I'm not deadening things a little bit. So
yeah, you're not doing the numbing for sure.
Not numbing. No. So that's been cause for even more grounding. So, you know, not to be super woo, but part of the journey too is instead of being an empath that takes in everything, I'm also, I heard this morning, you're going to love this. My friend said, instead of being a thermostat or a thermometer, I'm going to be a thermostat where I walk in.
That's a good one.
Of like, I'm going to set the temperature. Instead of just taking in all these different things. So, been my new thing. Do you love that? I want to be a
thermostat
instead of a thermometer.
That is actually one of my favorites for sure.
I hadn't heard it before. I was digging it.
Yeah. Well, I think that's one of the most beautiful things also during this pandemic is that we have had time to slow down and learn some new things. Like we actually were having this discussion in the green room that Mia's wearing Vixens on her shirt.
I did.
She's like, they're foxes. I'm like, no, they're vixens. Vixens are female foxes. So like even something as silly and goofy as like learning the
really
term
kind of made my day, little FYI.
But that there's this and did you know baby foxes are called kits?
That is so cute.
I'm in.
But that this, you know, you've also taken a step out because alcohol had become something where you're like, I'm not sure if I want to have that relationship, that same, the numbing relationship. There's a fun relationship. And then there's the alcohol really, in particular, a wine, I think, was really getting very, classy way to get drunk, right? For all of us. And it was like, that is what everyone was doing at the end of the day. And it wasn't to enjoy it. It was to numb it. And kudos to you because there are some really fun options out there, some other ways that, you know, we can work through that. So congratulations on that journey. And I think that I did also see that you're doing rowing.
Dude.
I love rowing. Oh my gosh.
I'm so going to be ready for the zombie apocalypse, y'all. Like, because I was not. We had this combination, and I didn't know you loved that too. We had this combination of this, you know, terrible fires that we were all experiencing. So for a lot of us, like getting outside was just not necessarily an option. So the cardio went down. So yeah, they had this deal. So talk about, oh my God, getting in your space, but also being in this group think thing. This is the motion I'm making. So yeah, that's been a new little addition. That and those hormone pellets that I got in my backside. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, the bioidenticals, right?
Yes.
Yes. Well, you know what? That's what a great segue into the conversation. So you've been talking a lot about, I mean, for the last couple of years, you've been talking about, you know, like the personal summers and going through menopause and CBD and summers. the internal fire that turns into like an absolute flame. But this is a conversation that we haven't had. And during the pandemic, I started going through perimenopause. Like I was like, what is this?
Mm. Cheers. Cheers on that one.
What is this? Yeah. I'm like, my feet, for the first 5 minutes every morning, I was like, my feet hurt. Why do my feet hurt? Oh my God, my feet hurt.
And so odd.
I didn't know until I started saying something inside of one of my women's groups that like that's a symptom. I'm like, my freaking feet hurting is a symptom. And so I think that the conversations that we're more open to having, right? Yeah. Whether it's what you're talking about, Rebecca, which is like, let's discuss the inequity in education. Mm-hmm. And and all the way down to access to something like the internet, which should be like healthcare. Everyone should have access to it.
Absolutely.
And how it isn't, right? And that we've all stepped out in our own ways, in our own community, saying like, this is a conversation I'm feeling called to have. And I don't give a shit if you don't want to have it. If you don't want to have it, keep moving. But I'm not going to have you poo on my parade in the comments. I'm not going to have you try and dim my flame. Yeah. I'm going to have the conversation. I'm going to have it wherever I feel called to have it. Mm-hmm. Any ramifications that you've experienced from that? And how did you recover?
That's a great question.
Because we're so like, nah, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't look at any of them as ramifications. Yeah. I would look at it as whittling down our circle.
Yes.
And that was a pretty cool thing too, where I think we all really started to see who are our champions, who are those people that are going to celebrate us no matter what, no matter what stand we take. And then you also, Mia, you mentioned it, you saw a whole group of new people, you know, that came in and said, I want to get on this bandwagon, you know, and came along for the ride, which is fantastic. So I'd actually look at it in a very different way. What a blessing in disguise that we were able to start to step into maybe this whole new place within our lives of without fear, you know, talking about what matters most to us and being able to surround ourselves and just naturally attract those similar-minded or maybe people that were being led in the same exact way that we were and just needed somebody like you, Mia, like you, Deborah, to speak out and give us a voice, which I saw a lot of that happening too.
I did.
Psst. Hey, it's me. Well, you are listening to the Fire Up podcast, but we'll be right back to the show after this break. Have you heard I'm working on an exciting new collaboration with Molly McKinley of Intentionalities? We're putting together a moxielicious bundle with my new book, a journal, affirmation cards, a candle, matches to light your soul tank on fire, and a special empowerment blend tea to sip on while you enjoy the process. Head on over to moxieonfire.com, add your name to the list for updates, and reserve a bundle or two today as you wish. Again, that's moxieonfire.com. All right, back to the show.
I'm going to jump in on that. The one thing that I saw was part of the transition is as we were building and getting our voice, some of the naysayers would say things like, well, you're just living in a vacuum or a silo, which is gaslighting. Don't get it twisted. And so that did happen of, oh, you know, the traditional trope of free speech. I'm like, nah, dude, this is called social media. That the government's not involved. I'm not infringing on anything. So that got trotted out when I think a lot of us really started to use our voice. So being able to sort that out and see that that was a form well of being told, oh, you're too small-minded or you're too short-sighted, you're a snowflake, whatever was going on. And I think that was super empowering to say, no, you, like you said originally, Deborah, no, you can just kind of keep moving on. And so I think really hanging on to that for all of us, of if people are kind of throwing that dialogue our way, really hang on to, no, I'm not being too sensitive, or I'm maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. I do know what I'm talking about. This conversation just isn't for you.
Yeah.
Well, and that's I think that when we are confident in our in culling our own communities, right? Because we've all changed.
I love that word, culling. That's awesome.
Yes.
It tends to like bring up certain emotions for people, especially if you're from a farming community. But I'm talking about, I'm talking more about, you know, gathering and choosing and selecting and this idea that you don't, we've been taught in under that good girls area as well, which is to have a huge collection of people. Like if the more friends you have, the better a person you are. And that's one of the things I'm like, hasta pasta. Like you can stay back there in 2019. Like, I'm like, I love that my circle of sisterhood has gotten smaller and tighter. And I have had some people who just found it. They were so unbelievably brazen in how they thought they could actually control me. like the direct messages, right? Like, I can't believe. I can't believe whenever anything starts with that, you're like, let me just get comfortable here. Like, and what are you going to say to me?
Do this.
It's like, bring it. But this idea that I know I'm a different person today than I was on February 29th,
2020, yeah. right? Like yeah. leap yeah. day was the changing point for me. That was like the mm-hmm. last time we had gone out with friends. That mm-hmm. was like the last moment. And so yeah. like, I think that that leaping forward into where we are now, I'm a different person and I can't expect that everyone I knew back then is going to get me. And I yeah. don't care about that. Mm-hmm. I really no. don't care about that. Have either of you read or listened to The Untethered Soul?
No,
not yet. I think that's on, you are the cornucopia of awesome references.
Yes.
So for real. So no,
so,
I haven't.
So read. Michael, so the gentleman, Michael Singer is the person who wrote the book. I think Molly and Eric might do the You Are a Goddess book as our first book. So if you've not read this one, we're going to be doing mm-hmm. this summer mm-hmm. of the goddess. So mm-hmm. there's 9 different goddesses that Sophie Bashford talks about in this book. It's going to be great. But then after that, we're going to do Untethered Soul. So there's time to read both. But he really talks about being a witness, sitting in the witness seat. And actually stepping back and saying, so when somebody unfriends you, let's just use this as an example because we've all been unfriended. When somebody unfriends you.
Blocked. I think blocked showed up for me more this year than ever.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So that feeling, that initial feeling, right, that before mm-hmm. we can even control the emotion is like, there's a little bit of devastation. There's like, what did I do? What did I say?
Sure.
Like because we're yeah. human and we were raised in a society that said, when you lose friends, you did something wrong. Right. And so he talks about this idea of sitting in the witness seat and witnessing that emotion and going, okay, I feel that. Right. I feel the devastation that a human doesn't like me, because I can say to myself, and the higher self says, well, the reason you feel that way is because you've been taught that you need to be in a world that you control, that every word you say is going to be accepted and loved by every person who hears it. And your mind just can't handle that. Like, there's just no way for that to be possible. And so that's really building the muscle of being the witness to the emotion and not staying in it, not bringing it in, not creating samskaras, right? This like packages of pain that are stuck because we didn't process it. Oh my God.
Every time I talk to you, I'm always like,
a little right down. Well, you know, the beauty of, for me, the one thing that I'm taking with me is the reconnection to books. I mean, I was a huge book nerd when I was a kid. I loved books. I always had tons of books from the library. Like, mm-hmm. it was my favorite place to go, right? And then, you know, my 20s hit and I was like, my favorite place to go was the bar. And so, like, I wasn't reading at night. I was, you know, passing out at, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning. And so, you know, then marriage and career and all that stuff. And it was like, I would... somewhat, but now it's like really reconnecting and actually living with the book and not just reading it once, listening to it while I got the physical book, using the highlighter, like really taking it as though I'm studying. And this book in particular, The Untethered Soul, and this idea of us witnessing, not only witnessing ourselves, but witnessing each other, right?
Yeah.
And being able to be a witness to what you're going through and then to say, like, where's that emotion? Did it get stuck or did you release it? Mm-hmm. Right. Mm. When that person unfriended you and blocked you, like, do you still think about that?
Yeah.
Or is it gone? Yeah. Right. Like, you know, they just commented because somebody said something to them, but you can't see their comment. That's totally. Man, that drives me nuts.
Yeah.
Can I tell you, I did have an interesting version of that this year, and it was very freeing because it was somebody who was actually an ex of mine. And I, you know, sometimes you're not paying attention, but I remember like I went to post on his for his birthday, and somehow we'd gotten unfriended before. And so I was not catching any of what was happening. I was over here, doop, doop, boop, and being my mouthy self. And so finally I messaged him. I said, am I missing something? I said, but I see we're not friends again. And it was so, what was really good is because I did have to do that observation and sit back and see it. But it turns out that he was unfriending me because some of the posts that I was making about about George Floyd, about everything that was going on last summer. You know, Ahmaud Arbery, Elijah McClain, especially Elijah McClain, because it was such a huge thing for me being in my town and knowing the direct correlation. And at that point, some of the police had been caught mocking. I mean, it was bad. And so turns out he was unfriending me because his brother and his fiance are police officers. And then it was a very interesting interaction. And I was like, oh, how about I just block you now? Because I thought, if that's how you're taking what I'm saying, I do not want you in my life. Don't even look at my stuff anymore, because it was such a sign. It was a very passive aggressive thing to do. And so I'm like, oh, let me fix it for you then. So you'll never see my shit again.
Right.
And sorry, I had to get my swear word in, but it was so freeing to go, oh my gosh, you stand for a lot of the things that I don't stand for at all. So it was an interesting thing to kind of go through, because I literally was like, oh, that's what you're in front of me for? Ooh, let me help you out the door.
Well, and I think that's, again, we come back to what we accepted that was never acceptable in a lot of relationships, right?
Yeah.
And I think that there's just this, we don't got time for that.
No. And I think that was the big, big key right there, Deborah, is that we put up with stuff because, you know, all right, well, they don't like this. They don't like
history,
that. That's fine.
Habit, everything. Yes.
Exactly. And what I really saw in all of that was people's inability to even have a civil conversation, which was just, again, mind-blowing, you know, where similar to you, Mia, I had several circumstances like that where I had to take a step back and go, whoa, so we're just completely, you know, disconnected after X amount of years and we can't even have an adult conversation about it.
Yeah.
And that's very telling, right? It's like, okay, you know, bye-bye, onward and upward.
Yeah.
Well, and I think it's this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that what I'm hearing all of us saying, right, is this level, there's a filter now, like a true filter. Yeah. It's not well, wouldn't it be great if we had better boundaries, but we actually have the boundaries. Mm-hmm. We talked about like having these filters and we actually created them and use them now to say,
yes,
I'm not interested in that. And I think that there's like, I remember seeing, I think it was Austin Channing Brown shared this in one of her stories, but it was this idea of like, you know, we can disagree about pizza toppings.
That's one of my favorites.
We can't disagree about Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
Like
systemic racism.
We cannot, there's certain things that we can absolutely be friends and disagree about. Like I like red wine, you like white wine. Those things are fine. But when it's fundamentally related to a value structure, that is why defining our values is so important, so that we can stand up for ourselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then also not being cowed by somebody coming back. Again, the gaslighting thing is just so subtle in some ways of being called unkind because you don't want to associate with somebody who is willing to believe in a system that will literally kill people.
Yes.
I can't get with it.
Yep.
So call me unkind all you want. Yeah. I love how Louisa says, say it with your chest. Yes.
Let's do a little chest pounding.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's interesting to me too, because I think, you know, all of us are of a similar age and we have talked about, you know, is that playing a role in this, you know, that we are in a certain stage of our lives where we were probably very ready to let go of a lot of things that no longer served us, that we no longer wanted to be a part of.
Yeah.
But, you know, as I work and talk with people from every generation, this touches every single person that I've talked to, which I think is so empowering and so exciting that so many people really stepped into this whole new place within their lives and a comfort level of, you know, being able to say, nope. Yeah. I don't want anything to do with that.
Right. No period, not an explanation. That's a muscle, but yes, I agree. Yes.
Yeah, and feeling very okay that I don't need to explain it. I don't need to tell you why I'm making that decision. I don't need to feel guilty about it, which is, of course, what we've grown up feeling. Deborah, you talked about that, you know, just living with that shame. And I think that's a big part of what was so freeing for me, too, of I'm not going to own your feelings. I'm not going to take that on. And that ownership was big for me, too, of just because we don't have anything in common, I'm not going to feel bad about that. I'm not going to change myself to fit into a mold that just doesn't make sense. And maybe it did, you know, in a different stage of our lives.
Right.
But I think that's pretty empowering, too, for people to get to that place.
Agreed. And I love to see it out in public. I mean, I will say when I'm feeling a little, I don't want to say weak, but just not as strong about it. When I see other people do it in public, either on a post or in an interview, it gives me life. So I just have to say, stepping out and doing that is, you could create an example for somebody that you don't even know. I mean, just literally from hard stop, holding a boundary on a post, deleting, calling things out, like it just know I see it. And it helps me when I'm feeling like, I'm a little tired.
Yes. Well, and I think that's one of the magical things about our friendship and connection and our other pods of friends that we've leaned on is that when you are intentional about the people you surround yourself with, there's always somebody who can carry the baton when you're tired.
Yeah.
And it's, I find that the people that are in my life who are so exhausted and they're walking around with their cranky pants on all day long and their martyr syndrome. And it's like, you need new people.
Yeah.
You need new people in your life. Either people who are saying, sister, like, here's the reflection of how you are showing up. Let's talk about that. Or simply that you need to truly embrace your authentic self so that you can become the magnet that attracts people and opportunities to you that are aligned with your values.
Yep.
Because something isn't working if you are feeling this way, right? Something
And I think that's so much of what we've talked about here today, which is, you know, we have had all of these people in our lives for so many years. And what 2020 really showed me was just because those people walked alongside you and brought you to where you are, doesn't mean they need to be your people going forward. That's a tough reality. I don't care who you are or how old you are, but I had to have some pretty tough come to Jesus conversations with myself. Why am I hanging on to this? So I totally get what you're saying, Deborah, that I think there are still some people that feel like I need to keep these people around. Well, why? Yes. Are they energy vampires? Are they taking you down every single day?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. Energy vampires, vision vampires.
Oof.
The vision vampires, that happened a lot too.
Hold on. Gidget's trying to get everybody's attention over here speaking up.
She's like, I want the lumbar position.
He does want to be lumbar crunchy. It's coming. I want to say, one of the questions I know you're going to ask about defining success. So I'm just going to segue just because it goes so well. Oh my gosh,
totally.
I feel like for me, part of success are the people around me.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning like, oh, hi, Hanan, we're on the show.
There she is.
Okay. It just couldn't help but she knew the aunties were up there. But that thing of like the people that you're letting go and all that, that can go in the same way of who's around you, who's vouching for you, who are you vouching for? Like if you've got this group, either, you know, I talk about like the board of influencers or the board of advisors, like to me, that's also success, which can seem counterintuitive when we talk about, you know, having your own vision. But again, those people around you, that's indicative. Like who's commenting on my stuff? Who's reshared my things? Like if I have these, you know, strong people that aren't the cranky pants and aren't sort of the naysayers, but the people doing the work and living the purpose, that's success to me.
Yeah, that's beautiful. How about you, Rebecca? When you hear that question, how do you define success? What comes to mind?
Gosh, there's so many different ways. I could answer that question. Certainly this year, it has been all about who am I surrounding myself with, but more than that, who am I doing life with? And you two, I truly believe our weekly calls were transformative for all of us. And being just in a space where we could talk about the reality and the fears and our trepidations at that time, and what was it going to look like, you know, the next month to the next month to the next month. And so success to me is having the freedom to know that I can say what I want to say. I can be who I was born to be. I can step out in faith and do anything I want, knowing that I've got support of great friends, you know, like the two of you. And that, when you talk, Mia, that gives me life, because that's what feeds into me and gives me the strength to go out and fight the good fight, for no other, you know, way to put it, because it is a place where, especially as I'm finding in the nonprofit world, you give so much of yourself to others that you can leave a lot or too much on the table, to where you've got to fill yourself back up. And you two are so good at constantly regrounding me or bringing me back or helping me see the reality in the situation. You know, that maybe I'm just a little too close to something, or maybe I'm not seeing something from the right perspective. So, you know, I think there's a couple of things within that. You know, success is being free to be who you are, feeling comfortable in all of that, and then feeling as if you can take that energy and give it back to others, you know, so that yeah, exactly, that place of understanding that hanging on to anything is a waste. If I'm not feeding it back into somebody else, then what's my purpose and what am I here for? And so I think all of us have really found that in the last year, and also the ability to be able to keep doing it, because not just because we love it, but because we've surrounded ourselves with people that feed that into us. And on those days, as you said, Deborah, on those days when, you know, we all say, I don't feel so strong. You know, I don't feel like getting up. I don't feel like doing this again. Somebody else is willing to take that baton and say, you know what, here, you know, I'm gonna lift that heavy weight for you.
I love it.
Amen. Say what you don't know what to say.
Amen. Yeah, the lioness pride is so incredibly important. And our sisters can be from different misters. And I think that it almost sometimes is more helpful when we don't have the same shared stories, right?
Yeah.
That there's a place to have that kind of community. I love that so much. Okay. So as we wrap up, one of my favorite things to do before I ask for your final bits of words are some rapid fire questions. Okay. And I've never done rapid fire with two guests. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to go Rebecca, Mia, Mia, Rebecca. Rebecca, Mia, Mia, Rebecca. Okay, so we're going to bounce back and forth so that one of you always has a little bit more time to think about it before you have to answer.
Okay.
Got it.
Okay, so the first question, Rebecca, we'll start with you. What's on your nightstand?
I have several things, but it's always a glass of water. I am thirsty 24/7.
Mia, how about you? That's okay. It doesn't have to be exciting. It's rapid fire. What's on yours, Mia?
Ball jar with the straw, because I don't want Bonquiqui to drink out of that. Lip stuff and crystals.
Ooh. I love it. Ooh, do you have the lip mask? The sexiest beauty lip mask?
Yes, ma'am, I do.
Oh my gosh, I can't. I'm so addicted to that. And she's sold out right now. I'm like,
really? Oh,
I'm glad I have a backup. Okay, yes, ma'am. So Mia, sunset or sunrise?
I would love it to be sunrise, but it's normally sunset. I can't usually
make it to the sunrise. Rebecca, sunrise or sunset?
Sunrise. Standing on the ocean.
Oh. Yeah. Love it. Yeah. All right, Rebecca, first for you here, dark or milk chocolate?
Ooh, I love dark chocolate, especially with sea salt and maybe some caramel. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Ditto. Yeah, I don't even need to put those words out there again.
All right.
Oh, you had me at sea salt.
Okay, so then first one for you, Mia. First concert.
Bob Seger.
Bob Seger!
And oh my Silver God. Bullet Band. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm so jealous. Never saw him.
It was good.
Rebecca, how about you? What was your first concert?
Oh, I want to say it was Def Leppard, but I can't remember.
Oh, now I'm now who's jealous.
I think it is Def Leppard, because I feel like we've had this conversation before.
We've had this conversation.
Yeah, I feel like I was like, oh my God, Def Leppard. I love that.
That's amazing.
Okay, so Rebecca, what's your superpower?
Ooh, my superpower... Is this supposed to be serious or goofy?
Whatever you want it to be, whatever popped into your mind, it's rapid
now I'm
fire.
Intrigued.
Well, according to my nephew, who I have spent quite a bit of time with over the last month or so, my superpower is, as he tells me, I could swim for all eternity. He's like, Rebecca, when did you become such a great swimmer? He's 7 years old. He just turned 7. And I'm like, I don't know, Pax. I guess I've just always been one. He's like, because we go out on the boat and he's like, you don't wear a life preserver and you're just out here with me. You're out here forever. And it's amazing. How do you do that? I'm like, apparently it's a superpower.
I love
that
it.
That goes in the water theme we started with.
I love it. That's so it good. That totally connecting the dots. How about That's you, Mia? Awesome. What is your superpower?
Well, I have a kind of a new temporary one. I think it's always been there, and it's not going to sound as fun and juicy. My superpower lately is realizing when people don't like me really quickly. It's been very interesting to go
discernment is a beautiful superpower.
It is, and it's been, but I've also been able to use it and not get super butt hurt. It's been like, okay, just not that into me, and
super
I just
butt hurt. Oh my God. Did she just say butthurt?
It's so good. Because that it describes exactly how I would feel.
You're sitting in the witness seat and you're like, oh yeah, I'm butthurt. All right, that's an emotion. All right, how am I
moving on?
Oh my God. I can't even. All right. So Mia, who would play you in the movie of your life?
Oh, I don't. Any ideas, ladies?
Who are you always told that you totally look like?
I don't, isn't that weird? I really don't get too much of a you look like, but I would love it to be maybe Reese.
Oh, Reese Witherspoon?
Yeah, I think she has some good comedic timing.
I could see Reese now, and then you did for a second, and then maybe like, Meg Ryan circa like You Got Mail.
Oh yeah, please. Yes, please. Or French Kiss.
Because
she was so
French Kiss. Yes. Oh my God. The scene where she realizes lactose intolerance.
Yeah, we were just talking about that the other day.
I love that.
I also how love she takes a necklace. She goes, like this?
Like this? Totally. Oh my gosh, y'all. Now I'm gonna need to find that movie.
I'm on for that. Yep. Okay. I'll go with Meg Ryan circa 1990.
I love that.
Yes,
yeah, love it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who would play me. I've always been told I look like Christina Applegate.
Ooh,
I could totally see that. Oh my gosh,
I'll go with that.
Especially her now, like
yes,
post Kelly, right?
Correct.
Like, yes. Like what is the name of that show?
Shoot. I was just going to say it, and it's so good. It's the one where she she's a widower, and now she's got that new friend. Oh my God, she's so good in that.
She is so good in that. Dang it. Oh my gosh. It's going to drive me crazy. So it's got to come to one of us, right? One of us has got to find it. Cause that show
Louise
is so
good about this too.
Dead to me.
Oh, good one.
Dead to me. Yeah, totally. I can absolutely see her playing that. All right. So of course the last and final rapid fire is, what does Moxie mean to you?
Who's that? Is that Rebecca or me?
Rebecca goes first.
Oh, well, Moxie only says to me, Deborah, pretty much.
sorry, but when your brand is your brand, it's your brand.
That's right. Exactly. So you live, breathe Moxie. So if anybody ever says that word, you are the only thing that comes to mind.
Oh my gosh, that's so sweet. Yeah. I'll take it. Yeah. How about you, Mia? What words do you associate with moxie?
I knew that question was coming. So I looked it up because I'm like, I just know it. And again, Deborah or Rebecca, it is her. But I looked it up and I go, it says force of character, determination, or nerve. And then they use it in a sentence. When you've got moxie, you need the clothes to match. And I was like, I'm DFT down for that. You know,
I love it. Oh my God. Oh my God.
This is how you know an important moment is coming with Mia.
With the fingers. You get the, wait for it.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly what it is. It's like, wait.
There's a pause.
Something's coming. Everybody
put it for the truth.
Put your 5-point harness on. Mia's about to drop something.
Oh, you're
right.
I love it. Okay, so last final words that you want to sprinkle over those who are listening to us today in the replay, in the future, on the podcast. What's on your heart?
I love find your normal for reals. Like this has got to be, and your new normal can be, you're not going to networking events anymore, that you want to insist on hybrid events that can be in person and online, because it's really opened it up, I think, for a lot of differently abled people to be able to attend things as opposed to the old way of doing things. So I really think finding your normal, whether that applies to anybody else but you. And that's what I'm doing. I'm finding my normal.
I love that. I love that. Too. How about you, Rebecca? What are your parting words of wisdom?
Along with what we talked about with being unafraid to stop saying yes to everything and anything, one of the big things I did over the last, several months was a ongoing list of my non-negotiables. So what are incredibly important to me that could be seemingly simple, but they make you happy, they bring you joy. It could be something as simple as, I love taking walks with my dogs in the morning. So it's a non-negotiable that I'm going to schedule a 7 a.m. call so that I have to put that off. Yeah. You know, and it's just recognizing what those little things are in our lives. And that's been really rewarding for me to be able to go back and reflect on those, but also being able to continue kind of that conversation with myself. I was reading it to my sister. She was here a couple of weeks ago, and she was laughing at me at some of them, I don't want to have to go to bed, before midnight, because I do. I scheduled a 7 a.m. call, so I've got to get up early. You know, it's little things like that, that as we start to recognize and appreciate that this is who we are, then we start to surround ourselves with people that don't force us to be something that we're not, which,
amen and hallelujah.
That is sneaky. Those people can be super sneaky.
Yes,
for sure.
I love all of this. I am here for all of it. I cannot wait to go back and listen to it. I love the be who you are out loud on purpose and on your own terms, completely and wholeheartedly. I love the idea of writing down your non-negotiable list. You know, we are far past the age of the early bird gets the worm. Because we are like 24/7. We have access to 24/7, and we can choose our hours whenever we want.
I can DoorDash that worm when I want.
We can, and you know what? We can be successful in whatever amount of hours we choose, whichever hours we choose. I think that's so beautiful. Sisters, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm so glad that we got a chance to do this. I think we're going to need to do it more often because there's so many other conversations that we could have. I did drop in the notes the link to get to Mia's podcast to learn more about Rebecca on her site. So if you have questions, if you want to reach out, if something that these tantalizing lionesses said has tickled your curiosity, make sure you reach out to them, connect with them. Mia does a weekly, almost every week show with the Frenchie on Fridays on her.
It looks just like this.
Frenchie. Yes. And she loves to talk about everything on that show. Oh,
man, we get into it.
We definitely get into it. There's anything that you want to talk about will likely be talked about on that show in some way, shape, or form. Yes. Make sure to connect with Rebecca and find out what's going on. If the what she talked about with Inversin is something that's interesting to you, make sure you check them out as well. We'll be sure to drop a link in there. If you know, helping the world get into a more equal place with education across the board is something that's on your heart, get connected with her and make it happen in your own space. All right, everyone, thank you so much for joining us, whether you're here with us live on the, watching the replay or on the podcast. Until next time, remember to look for those opportunities to engage, elevate, and empower your world. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining me today for a divine dose of truth wrapped in grace with sides of sass, moxie, and fire. Want more information on what we talked about today? You'll find the show notes and links over on my website, deborahtraben.com. Search the podcast title and voila! If you enjoyed the show today, please hit subscribe, click those stars to rate me, and leave a review. Oh, and don't keep the show a secret. Pretty please, share it with your friends too, okay? Lioness, I am praying you enjoy living your best life out loud, on purpose, and on your own terms. As always, keep your eyes open for moments you can engage, elevate, and empower your world.